Success Match Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Thanks for being with us. It is a good Wednesday to jump on board with you. The Diamondbacks have made another trade and another trade and another... No, I'm just kidding. Last night, I was trying to be the good dad. Guys, you know it's that time of year where you've got to go to the holiday recitals. And this was a string concert. And the 11-year-old was doing the string bass. And just as I walk in, I get the, you better check on Diamondbacks. Things are close. And then it's, I got to go into this. And boom, phone blows up. The deal is done. The Diamondbacks trade Dansby Swanson. So I'm trying to be focused, right? Because that's what dads are supposed to do. You're supposed to enjoy these events. But in my world last night, it was going pretty quick, pretty fast, pretty furious. I was finally able to settle on in and had a great night. And then thought about the deal as the night progressed when I got back to my office. And for the Diamondbacks to make the trade that they made last night says for certain, we are all in. We are pushing every last bit of our chips to the table. This is not about, well, we're building towards 2017. No, not when you trade the number one overall pick in the draft and he's never seen the light of day for the Diamondbacks on the field. They did that last night with Dansby Swanson. No, not when you just give Ender and Ciarte away. Now, I'm sure you're saying, oh, Brad, come on, this is a great deal. They didn't have to give up Pollock. Well, yeah, you're right. You're right. So I'm going to talk more about that in a minute. Larry Fitzgerald Sr. is going to be with us on the show today. The Vikings are here tomorrow night. And you know, I just say it like this. It's Fitz's dad, who is in the media in the Twin Cities. And I want to talk to him about his son and if he is surprised by the productivity that Larry is putting up. And how many more years does he think his son can play? And what really is going on with Adrian Peterson? Larry Fitzgerald Sr. will join us from Minnesota here in a few minutes. At 10:35, it is Wednesday. That means it's Michael Fabiano time. Time for your fantasy football teams. Mine's a train wreck. I put everything into Randall Cobb. Man, was I just... I shouldn't say everything. What a disaster. Just... I mean, if you're a Packer fan, you know what I'm talking about. If you had Randall Cobb on your team, you know what I'm talking about. Oh. And we moved Jimmy Vaccaro up to today because I wanted a national view on the Cardinals from the betting side. And is America in love with the Cardinals for the Super Bowl this year and the amount of money being dropped on the Cardinals? So Jimmy Vaccaro, longtime Vegas bookmaker, South Point Casino Resort odds maker, will join us on Vikings Cardinals. The line the last I saw was at 7. That's pretty significant. And the Vikings have been better on the road. They were awful, though, last week. They've been awful the last couple of weeks. So Larry Fitzgerald Sr., Michael Fabiano, and Jimmy Vaccaro. Let me go back on the Diamondbacks. So I could do hours on this today. You don't want me to do hours, though, do you, Eric? You really want me to stick to the course today?
Hours? We're going to be here hours? We have a lot to do today. If you're going to be here hours, I may only be here for like an hour or so.
No, but you want me to do hours on the Diamondbacks? Hours on end? It's been fascinating.
They deserve it.
It's been fascinating.
No one will ever accuse the Diamondbacks of, finger quote, not going for it this year because, trust me, they are all in, like you said.
Where do you think, like, 5 years from now the organization is? Because it could be one of two places.
I don't even really want to think about that.
Because
I was thinking about that last night after the deal came down, and I saw who they actually gave up, and then read in a little bit more about who they gave up. It's like,
I mean, you take the Bryce Harper was a number one overall pick.
Uh-huh.
Steven Strasburg was a number one overall pick. David Price was a number one overall pick. And the Diamondbacks had the number one overall pick. And they traded him less than a year after he was here. That's just stunning. What was it? I wrote about this morning. It's over on the website. The last time a number one overall Major League Baseball draft pick was traded before playing in a big league game was Adrian Gonzalez back in 2003. And so for them to make this move last night was, it's exciting. I think it's exciting. I think anybody who says, like I think the easy narrative is, oh my gosh, they overpaid. It's Tony La Russa Okay, it's not some dope on the street. And yeah, they'll make mistakes, but you think Tony just sat there and said, oh, I don't know, I'm just going to give away the number one pick. I'm going to give away Blair. I'm going to give away Insearte. I think that's really easy narrative. If it's, how is this all going to work out in the clubhouse? You know, you look at Shelby Miller's numbers. I'll tell you the number I looked at was Shelby Miller. He's 25. He's under control for three more years. He eats up 200-plus innings, and he was on a bad team last year in Atlanta. I talked to some scouts. I talked to two scouts, okay? One said, great, perfect spot for him. Another said, fourth starter at best. Okay, and that was unsolicited. I look at it and say, okay, Greinke, Miller, Corbin, or Greinke, Corbin, Miller in a three-game series, I feel like you're going to take two out of three most times.
That's a pretty good top three.
Yeah.
Pretty good top three.
And so if people want to question Tony La Russa, look, Dansby Swanson may go down there and tear it up, but my belief is if you can you can find guys in the field, you may not find the best of the best in the field, but you can find guys in the field much easier than you can find pitchers, and in particular pitching where it's a guy that you have under control. And so it's one of those contracts, or one of those deals, I should say, that will define the future of the franchise. Because they could have gone after Jose Fernandez and they would have had to trade the same amount, but down the road, would you have had to pay more? I don't think Shelby Miller, I could be wrong on this. I don't think Shelby Miller is going to be a Zach Greinke type guy. I could be dead flat wrong on that. But it feels kind of like in 1999, Jerry Colangelo signs Randy Johnson and he says, we're done. And then 3 days later, Steve Finley comes walking in. It feels exactly like that to me. Like, that's two monumental moves. And so you look at your lineup, you're still able to keep Pollock in the lineup with Goldschmidt. Defensively, they were very good last year. What does this say about the shortstops that are within the organization? Because when they drafted Swanson last year, last June, it was, oh, he'll be here within a year or two, and he'll be the guy there for the next 10 years. And he may well go to Atlanta and just tear it up. But I think this is the prudent move to make. Most of you would disagree with me. Prudent move is not making this move. You gave up a young pitcher who was a first-round pick in Blair. Insearte, they have enough outfielders. You can go find outfielders.
And the Diamondbacks, I think, have gotten sick of getting punched in the mouth by the Giants' starting rotation and the Dodgers' starting rotation. If you're going to make the leap in the NL West, you have to have starting pitching, and now they definitely have starting pitching.
Yeah, and they have some other kids that I haven't even talked. I thought De La Rosa was better in the second half of
last
season.
Zach Godley last year, pleasant surprise.
Yeah,
I mean, Robbie Ray was good.
He wasn't, look.
He wasn't necessarily consistent, but when he was good, he was really good.
Yeah, and I've seen some quotes from the Diamondbacks that don't mention Archie Bradley. So is this kind of like, look, dude, you're a first-round pick, but you're not all that, but you're still here. Are you going to step forward?
Man, remember the buzz last year, Brad, when the season started?
That's right.
We were all about Archie Bradley.
Where is he now? Sizzled
when the season went on.
But he's still, Eric, he's still on the roster. So are there some holes on this team? Sure. Sure, I still don't believe that the bullpen top to bottom is where you need it to be, want it to be. But we're sitting here on December 9th with a franchise that clearly is going for it. We have a pro football team that's going for it this year with the Cardinals. Very short window of opportunity. And we have a baseball team that's decided, you know what, we've sat around long enough here just being mediocre to substandard, and we're going for it. You know, in the meantime, we have a hockey team that got drilled last night. But I think they've got some good young pieces. And then the NBA team's just over there in the corner, just... You know, as much as they don't like it when we say it, it's fact. Mix it up. Coming off their best win of the night, of the season, rather, the Suns play Orlando tonight after winning over Chicago. So back it up. I don't know when Golden State's going to lose a game. They're now 23-0. This has become one of the more fascinating things for me daily when I get into show prep mode, or even the night before. if I can watch the Warriors play, it's become must-see TV. In fact, I saw where ESPN picked up the Warriors-Suns game here, and I think it's next week. Klay Thompson, though, did sprain his ankle. But if you put it down as, are they the best team in the NBA or in the history? People are starting to talk about it. Guys, there's a lot of bad teams in the NBA. But good teams just roll right through them and never have letdowns. Like the Bulls the other night were just killing the Suns and then fell asleep. And the Suns came back. And the Bulls are better. I take the Bulls roster over the Suns roster. But the Suns fell asleep. For Golden State to be 23-0, this is one of those where I think this is starting to cross over from just hardcore basketball fan to it's already with sports fan. If you're a fan of sports, you're following the Warriors. To now it's going to start to reach the fringe and then the people that never watch sports at all. And that's pretty cool. Larry Fitzgerald Sr. joins us on the other side. Vikings are here tomorrow night. Fitz Sr. in Minneapolis. He covers sports there on a number of platforms. Twin Cities media member Larry Fitzgerald Sr. He joins us on the other side. What do you make out of Adrian Peterson's recent unpleasantries about lack of carries? Who is it? Who has more pressure on them, the Vikings or Cardinals tomorrow night? I want to talk to Fitz Sr. about his son. That's all next. I'm Brad Sussmat. Larry Fitzgerald Sr. joins us now from Minneapolis. He'll be at the game tomorrow night with the Cardinals taking on the Vikings. He's covered media through the years. I've sat next to Sr. at many a Cardinal game in the press box. There are times where he would pound his fist a few years back where there are quarterbacks putting his son or other wide receivers in harm's way. That clearly is not the case now. I appreciate you coming on board. And right off the top, Larry, what is going on with Adrian Peterson not getting enough touches up there?
Yeah, that was strange last week after having, what, two out of three games where he had one for 200 yards and then another one for 158. Both victories by the Vikings, and then last week they play a Super Bowl team back-to-back years, Seattle, at home, mind you, and he only gets eight carries, and they get smashed 38-7. So I think it was probably a combination of things. They got behind early and kind of lost him, and that can happen sometimes when your offense is predicated on ball control and field position.
Does he have a point in being upset publicly?
You know, I've never been a fan of disclosing my anger about the way things went in a team game. I've tried to teach, you know, my son that it's the team first, and if things don't work out that day, you just got to reach your hand out, shake the other team or players' hands and say, hey, we'll try and get you next time, but to be bulletin board material, that's not something that I recommend. I don't think Adrian was trying to do that. I think he was trying to be a leader and to speak up and say, hey, we played bad, we didn't get it done, and we got outplayed and outcoached.
It's a bigger game for the Vikings tomorrow night, not to minimize it for the Cardinals, but really, after what happened at home on Sunday, the Vikings have got their backs up against the wall, right?
Well, I wouldn't go that far. I mean, they're 8-4. That's fourth best record in the National Football League. They've had a terrific season when you consider that they only won seven games last year and Adrian played one game. Obviously, they've had a couple of bad weeks at home. I mean, you get drilled 30-13 to your arch rival, the Packers. You had a one-game lead when you were playing them, and so they draw even with that win. Then you go to Atlanta and win on the road. Basically eliminate the Falcons in a head-to-head tiebreaker if you're going to be a wild card. And then you come home and Seattle comes in and just destroys you. So not playing well at home is not good news in the National Football League. That's no breaking story because the problem is you got to go on the road and road wins are hard to come by. But the Vikings have won four in a row on the road and they're going to try and make it five in a row against Arizona.
Larry Fitzgerald Sr. joining us from Minneapolis. He'll be at the game tomorrow night in the press box working away on many platforms. What is your son doing better this year than in years past from the media point of view, from your view in the media?
Well, I just think he's realizing that he's got a pretty good quarterback in Carson Palmer. I think Carson has won, 23 out of his last 27 starts. Larry and Carson have hooked up, and have become very familiar and supportive of each other in the offense. And I think that is one of the big reasons why he's having a terrific season and a return to, you know, the way he has played most of the time in his career. Obviously, last year, four quarterbacks, the injuries, that type of thing. Carson was 6-0 when he went down. And then, you know, Larry's numbers followed him. You know, they just weren't able to have a productive passing game. And as you know, they couldn't run the ball either. So I think this year it's just totally different. They can run the ball with the best in the league, and they can throw the ball as good as anybody that's playing. So I think that combination, at least from what I've seen, is why the Arizona Cardinals could be a Super Bowl team.
What has Bruce Arians done for his career? I know Carson has done a lot, but what's Bruce done for his career, Larry?
I think he's elevated himself among the greatest coaches in the National Football League, certainly in the last 5 years. He got a Super Bowl ring as offensive coordinator with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And then the door opened up with Indianapolis when the health issues came along for the head coach. He stepped in and just kept that train moving, got him into the playoffs, and then got the opportunity in Arizona. What a brilliant decision that was, because he certainly is working great with the management of the Cardinals to put a football team on the field that's explosive, that attacks down the field, and can get after you on the defensive end. And they do a pretty good job of not only drafting players, but signing free agents and picking up veterans that can fit into his system, and boy, is he making it work.
How many more years do you think Larry can play in the league?
I think Larry can play another 3-4 years if he chooses to. He's had a, you know, he came in the league at age 20. Maybe only played a couple of years of college because of the situation where he was in prep school and played Pittsburgh his first 2 years, and then he looked at his situation, and it was advisable for him to make himself eligible for the draft. And so that's why he came out after just 2 years at Pitt. I think it was the right decision for him because he's developed, and boy, he's really having a terrific season, and so are the Cardinals.
Now, he's a Hall of Famer, first ballot in my book, and I know he has many years left to go if he chooses to, as you said, on the field. There's been discussion about how much longer can he play, and it just appears to me he could keep going for, as you said, 3-4 years. There's some that believe out here on the media side maybe it's just another year and contractually to see what happens. I think that's the case with any guy once he gets into his 30s, though.
Yeah, well, he's 32, and there's some pretty good receivers. I think Terrence Newman, he's a defensive back, though. He's 37. He plays for the Vikings. He's a defensive back, obviously. But that's a little long. You know, there's some kickers that are out there that are 40 years old. But I know one thing. As long as Larry's productive, as long as he's happy, as long as it's not drudgery going and working every day, he's going to continue to play because he gets paid pretty well to play a game that he loves.
No question about that. Look, I appreciate your time and your insight as always. We'll see you at the game tomorrow night. Thanks.
All right. Thank you.
Now, because it is fantasy football playoff time, and I absolutely want to fire Randall Cobb, never, ever again am I taking him. Michael Fabiano, the Hall of Famer from the NFL Network, back off the injured reserve from last week. He played hurt. He joins us for a couple of minutes. Randall Cobb, are there guys that as you go through a season, I think as you and I have talked this year, you're never going to take Peyton Manning again in another draft, right?
Well, is he going to play ever again? I don't even know.
Right. But Randall Cobb is, he's just worthless. I'm sorry to say it like that, but I think even Aaron Rodgers feels that way. And I'm just wondering from your view, are there guys that you look at this year and say, never ever again, their prime has passed, it's not worth the anger and anxiety like I'm experiencing this week?
I mean, I never say never with anybody, but there's certainly trends that I try to avoid. You know, I didn't want to draft DeMarco Murray this year because of all the carries and the move to Philadelphia. I didn't want to draft Peyton Manning this year because of what he looked like at the end of 2014. But Randall Cobb has been a disappointment. But keep in mind, too, that they lost Jordy Nelson back in the preseason, and, right, and that was a huge loss for them. And Jordy is a guy who defenses really have to pay attention to. And when you get a guy like that out of the lineup, well, Randall Cobb's now going to be gaining more of that defensive attention. And to be quite honest with you, he started off really well, mm-hmm. and then everything fell apart. I mean, you're looking at a guy who in his last four games has averaged 45 yards a game. And if he didn't recover that fumble for a touchdown last week, he gave you fewer than 3 points. If you have depth at wide receiver, he should be on your bench. The Cowboys' pass defense is not bad at all. So give him a seat on your bench if, for example, maybe you were able to draft Allen Robinson and Eric Decker, or you were able to pick up Martavis Bryant off the waiver wire before he came back, or maybe you drafted him and sat on him. So there are better options at wide receiver, depending on how deep you are.
Right. Well, I'll just be honest with you. I had Adrian Peterson and Randall Cobb last week, so guess what happened to me? I got crushed. I got destroyed.
Right.
Now playoffs are coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking
now what do you do? You got AD going against your team.
I know. I'm done.
Let's separate fantasy from reality here.
Okay.
You're rooting for the Cardinals, right?
I never root. Come on.
You don't root for the Cardinals?
Heck no. I don't root for anybody. I got to be objective here.
So if Adrian Peterson scores a touchdown this week.
Thrilled. Excited. I have Adrian Peterson and David Johnson and Lamar Miller.
David Johnson's a great play this week.
But I have Lamar Miller and Adrian Peterson too.
You know what? And I like Lamar this week. I'd still play David Johnson. I really would. Minnesota's defense is all banged up.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
David Johnson could be one of those late season heroes for fantasy owners because he's going to be the featured guy. Clearly, Bruce Arians does not like using a committee, bless his heart, mm-hmm. because fantasy owners absolutely hate RBBCs. So, Johnson's a good play. He's a really good play.
The Hall of Famer, Michael Fabiano from the NFL Network, he joins us here on the show. Let's go to the mailbag because we are getting a lot of playoff questions. Glenn mm-hmm. has Fitzpatrick or Tyrod Taylor to do or die with this week. Who do you go with?
Boy, I like both. I'm going Tyrod because the Eagles' defense is terrible. But Fitzpatrick is a really good play, too.
Mark, Macklin or Michael Floyd?
Macklin. I wasn't really big on Macklin. And then when Jamal Charles went down, I sort of eased up on that opinion a little bit because I knew he was going to end up being more targeted in the passing game and in the offense. And although he's had a whole bunch of bad weeks, lately he's been very good. And San Diego, well, let's just say that team is a dumpster fire right now.
James White or Darren Sproles off the waiver wire?
Woo-hoo-hoo. Well, I'm probably going to go James White. But I tell you right now, there's no promises with that backfield. Because once Deion Lewis got hurt, Bellatrix came back. Mm-hmm. And we all thought it was going to be LeGarrette Blount. But James White has actually had 3 touchdowns in the last 3 weeks, and he's put up double digits in 2 of those 3 games. I can't sit here and tell you I know what Belichick's going to do. Nobody knows what Belichick's going to do except for Belichick. But with Ryan Matthews coming back to practice this week, I don't know if there's going to be enough touches for Sproles, Matthews, and DeMarco.
I'd like to see this guy's team, Winston or Mariota this week?
Winston, great matchup. Very good matchup there against a really, really bad Saints defense. You will not see many Buccaneers, if any, on my sit-em list this week. In fact, heck, I'd start all of them.
Winston or Carson Palmer?
Yeah, Carson. Can't bench him. He's too good. Yeah. Listen, he's been... I mean, you want to talk about arguably the best draft bargain in fantasy football? He's right near the top of that list, if not at the top.
I get a lot of questions about Scott Chandler.
Mm-hmm.
What's
play
that?
Play him. I mean, the tight end position is terrible right now. It's so thin. Gronk is out. Graham is out for the season. It is a mess. And Chandler's got one huge advantage. Tom Brady throws him the football, and Rob Gronkowski is out. So Chandler, to me, unless you have Kelsey or maybe you have Eifert, assuming he comes back, or Gary Barnage, or of course, Greg Olson, I mean, how do you not play Chandler right now? You're playing the matchups at tight end every single week if you don't have a good player. And Chandler's catching passes from Brady, so it's hard not to like him.
Defenses, and this is a general question, here in the playoffs, you look at schedules. Yeah, everybody's mm-hmm. going to say, I've got Denver's defense. I'm golden. Are there defenses here the next few weeks, matchups that you're looking at saying, I got to stay away from this guy, got to stay away from that guy? And who are those defenses or teams that you're saying, I can't play these guys?
I mean, listen, Julio Jones is playing against Josh Norman twice in the next 3 weeks. That's a statistical death sentence, but how do I not play Julio Jones? But you're really looking sort of more in terms of position. You know, quarterbacks who are potentially going up against the Broncos, wide receivers going up against the Broncos. I don't like Amari Cooper this week. The Carolina Panthers have been really tough on quarterbacks as well, so you're looking at the matchups with that. At running back, if a player like Buck Allen's playing Seattle this week. In a PPR league, I'm still playing him. In a standard league, maybe as a flex, but Seattle's really tough on running backs. The Jets have been the same thing, really tough on running backs. So Baltimore, they've been pretty tough on running backs as well, although I'm still playing Thomas Rawls this week. Sometimes matchup doesn't mean as much as opportunities, especially when positions are thin. At wide receiver, again, Julio, Denver, tough against wide receivers. Atlanta's really tough against wide receivers. Seattle has been pretty tough against wide receivers. Look at what Richard Sherman did to Antonio Brown. I mean, Brown had a very mediocre game that week. So those are some of the defenses that you want to at least, if you can't shy away from them altogether, temper your expectations. There's some big-name players in my sit-em list this week at the majority of the positions. You know, I'm not afraid to take chances. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I'm just looking at the numbers. But this is a year, more than any other, that at a deep position, say like quarterback, at wide receiver, for example, you can play the matchups. Like, you don't have to be afraid to bench Randall Cobb because you drafted him in the second round. You don't have to be afraid to bench T.Y. Hilton because you drafted him in the second round. Amari Cooper's a guy who's been really good, a little bit inconsistent. His numbers have been good, but he's playing Denver. He's not a guy who is a must-start. So, and that has everything to do with the matchup. So keep that in mind. More than ever this year, you're seeing less heralded players putting up really big numbers. And when Blaine Gabbert rushes for more yards in the same week as Adrian Peterson and Todd Gurley combined, you know it's a little bit wacky. Let's put it that way.
Before I let you go, Michael Fabiano, the Hall of Famer, starts and sits with the NFL Network at NFL.com. Take it away.
Will do. Let's start at the quarterback position and start Carson Palmer. Andy Dalton, very good at home this year. I'd play him. Tyrod and Jameis and Fitzpatrick, also very good starts. Guys, I'm sitting. I'll be honest with you, Matt Ryan deserves to be on the waiver wire right now.
Wow.
There's too many good quarterbacks to even roster him. I don't like Rivers in Kansas City. I like Stafford next week. I've liked him for 3 weeks in a row. Don't like him in St. Louis. Derek Carr's got a tough matchup against a team I just mentioned, the Denver Broncos, so you may want to temper your expectations or bench Carr this week. At running back, Lamar Miller, I'm playing him against the Giants. Thomas Rawls, bad matchup. Don't care. It's about opportunities. Jonathan Stewart, T.J. Yeldon, and David Johnson, all good starts at running back. Jeremy Hill, he had a good game last week, but keep in mind, he's averaged 69 yards with no touchdowns in 3 career games against Pittsburgh, and their run defense is pretty good. Beware Eddie Lacy. Listen, he could have a huge game this week, or he could get 5 carries. I have no clue, especially after what happened last week. Latavius Murray is a bit of a risk. So is LeGarrette Blount because of the Bellatrix that have now been sort of resurrected in New England. At wide receiver, Sammy Watkins is a must-start. Alshon Jeffrey should bounce back. Mike Evans against New Orleans. Martavis Bryant's got a tough matchup on paper. Don't care. The guy's amazing. Eric Decker's been one of the unheralded fantasy heroes of the year. Start him against Tennessee. Big-name wide receivers that I mentioned that you should consider benching. Cooper, Hilton, Randall Cobb, DeSean Jackson, 3 good games in a row, but the Bears have been really, really good defensively over the last several weeks. So don't think that's a good matchup. At tight end, you know what, Brad? You're playing your best players at that position. So Kelsey, Julius Thomas, Delanie Walker, Scott Chandler, play him this week. Guys that you're benching, Jason Witten, Zach Ertz, Jordan Cameron, Charles Clay. I don't like Ben Watson this week either. But again, even Antonio Gates has a brutal matchup this week, but how do you not play him? That position is just unbelievably thin. I knew it was going to be thin going into the year, but with Graham hurt and Gronkowski hurt, it is anemic at this point.
Let you go off that. Appreciate your time as always, Michael. Thanks.
All right, bud. Take care.
Right. I think it's time to go to Vegas here to get a closer look at what's going on with the Arizona Cardinals. Their showdown tomorrow night in Glendale with the Vikings. Jimmy Vaccaro has been doing the odds in Vegas for almost 40 years now with South Point. He joins us for a couple of minutes. I term Jimmy the wisest of the wise guys. I don't know if you like that term or not, by the way. I could always drop it. We've been doing this for a number of years now.
Yeah, my friend, you can just drop it. I'm just like an old-time bookmaker just looking to the next game, kid, because that's all we can talk about. Everything in the past is done. No, we'll go ahead with it. And you're right. Your front stage this weekend, Thursday, and your guys are playing very, very well. Minnesota's a little upside down after a poor showing the last few weeks. And Arizona has drawn nothing but money and attention so far. We opened the game 7, Brad, and we're up to 8, and I can see it climbing even higher. I imagine the temperament around Arizona, and I was like, you know, why not? Why not this year? You know, obviously all the pieces fit, and you're playing very well. And the guy on the sideline, I suggest he's as good as there is in the last 10 years. So you guys are in good shape, but you are drawing all the attention that I can tell you.
Okay, let's talk nationally then about them. You touched on it a little bit there. Nationally, is America in love with the Arizona Cardinals this year on a betting side of things, Jimmy?
Yes, love is a little deep. I wouldn't put them as America's team yet, but I can tell you that probably in about 70% of the games we've needed against Arizona. The general public picked up on Arizona much earlier than what I would consider the bookmakers. You know, we saw Fitzgerald coming off a lackluster year, the injury that you had to Palmer last year, and always that thing's been hanging over your head, and whatever it is, like, you know, you can't win the big one. Well, you've proven everybody wrong, except the general public. They seem to have jumped on it early. We caught up, and like I said, right now, this game is Arizona's an 8-point favorite over Minnesota, which was a great upstart team. By that, I mean, there was a lot of money early on for them to win both the division and the conference to some degree, and a lot of money on the over 7 win total. So they drew plenty of attention also, but Arizona's right there right now, and I consider them a dangerous team. And as I said a few minutes ago, the general public caught on long before the bookmakers. Believe me on that one.
How about Super Bowl? If we're talking Super Bowl teams from the NFC, where are the Cardinals right now?
Well, the Cardinals, just put it this way, the AFC is about a 2-point favorite over the NFC, and obviously there's a couple teams on your side that can make noise, but you can see right now by the posting of the AFC versus the NFC, no matter who gets there, AFC is just a small favorite. Now, that's down. The AFC was 3.5 a few weeks ago when the Patriots were kicking everybody's behind. Now, obviously, with the troubles that they're having, that number has dropped. So I would consider Arizona just a small underdog, no matter who they would play, if they do get to the Super Bowl. And I mean a small underdog. We're talking anywhere between, you know, 1.5 and 2.5. It's a very good team. And one of the reasons I have stayed around for so long is like I am not stubborn. I'm not going to keep pushing and say, you know, this team has to lose one. They're the Cincinnati Bengals every time they get in that spot. Personally, I think things are quite different this year in your land over there. So I would suggest they would never be more than a 3-point. 3-point is a real stretch if they fought anybody in the Super Bowl.
Appreciate your time and insight as always, Jimmy. Thanks.
All right, buddy.
Always good to catch up with Jimmy Vaccaro in Vegas. So if you missed any part of that, it'll be on the TV show tonight. TV show, I watched it last night, and of course the Coyotes did us no favors. You get, what was it, Eric, 5-1, 4-1?
Yeah. Winless road trip, right?
Yeah. And the Suns, no favors other than the other night against the Bulls, and we weren't on that night.
Yeah.
So tonight, come on, Suns, do something against Orlando. I don't know if you guys have seen the TV show, but we have this promo that we put in the TV show. Jared, you got that? Let's just see this real quick.
Why was Jared first?
Yeah, I know.
I am the executive producer.
Can we just go back to the
executive producer?
Can we go?
Jared was hired after me.
You actually told me to hire Jared. Can you go back to the freeze frame of Eric's picture that we're using? Jared's freezing his tail off. There. Just hold it right there. Just don't even roll it. Just let it sit there for a minute. That's good.
Yeah, I needed a haircut. You can see the
That's
hair
good.
Over the ear.
What? You're not at a Cardinals game in 1996,
true,
are you?
True. It's well lit. I like that.
Yeah.
Sort of well lit.
Yeah.
Horizon High School.
Is that where you are?
Yeah.
Doing a thing?
Yep, doing a thing.
That's good. So you're upset, you're butthurt that you're not first in the promo.
I wouldn't say I'm butthurt. I'm just, what do I do on the show? I state facts.
Maybe, well.
Executive producer.
Maybe.
I had no input on this promo. You just said, hey, we did a promo. I was like, oh, great. Glad.
Maybe,
thanks for bringing me in on the meeting for that.
Maybe everybody knows who you are and they don't know who Jared is yet. Clearly they know who Jordy is. He's
that's
the mascot.
Your excuse,
he's
huh?
out freezing his tail off it. He's
wearing a hat.
Wearing a hat.
Drenched.
We have that picture of Jordan. Yeah, because I don't know. You hire people, guys. You've been in this position. You hire people and you just hope for the best. And this is what I get. He's out working like he looks. I don't know. Vagrant. Is that a good word for him?
Looks cold.
He looks like.
Let's hope that doesn't happen again this year. Where like
it's
on the
open.
On the
Deal
biggest day of the Open,
Deal
it's just a
it.
Complete downpour.
I have to go to the Open luncheon today, and Jim Nantz is emceeing it. And I guess Jim's coming on with us tomorrow. So that
he is. We spoke this morning, so he will be on the show tomorrow.
That'll be good. Did you see the story? There's a couple stories that caught my eye today while we've been doing the show, and one of them is that Bob Bowlsby of the Big 12 said, we should put into place that only 7 and 5 teams make bowl games.
I like that idea.
I like that idea too. Now, the problem is you have all these bowls that are just willing to set it up as tax shelters because that's what they are. Nothing more than tax shelters.
Correct.
And, you know, they're scrambling to find sponsors right up to the nth hour. And you're finding an outpost like Shreveport, or some of you in Tempe would say Tucson's an outpost, and they have a game this year. And there's teams that are just not deserving at all of going to games. Like the best bowl game to me, BYU's playing Utah in a bowl game in Vegas.
I'm thinking about trying to get there.
Those two schools hate each other. And that's, you know, I shouldn't use the term hate when, you know, we have a religious affiliated one school and then we have the heathens over at the other school. But BYU Utah.
Take a guess at what the.
They'll
least,
sell that game out.
The least expensive ticket for that game is on the secondary market, a.k.a. StubHub.
You've already looked?
I have.
Because you were thinking about going?
The least expensive ticket. Take a guess.
$150?
Higher.
Get out of here. For BYU Utah?
$195 will get you one ticket in the upper corner of
Sam Boyd Stadium?
Correct.
And Sam Boyd Stadium's a dump. Like one of the biggest dumpy stadiums.
The nice thing is it's not a very big stadium, so I'm assuming almost every seat in there is probably a pretty good seat. But, yeah.
Vegas. With BYU and Utah.
I've always wanted to go to the Holy War. And then, of course, those two teams stop playing each other. So I'm thinking.
Because Utah was chicken, right?
I don't remember. I just
Utah
wish.
Was
I
like,
mean.
Bark, 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 bark.
And there are lots of Mormons that live in Vegas already. So you can see why that's a pretty hot
ticket.
Oh,
they're going to sell that game out.
Easily. Easily.
Well, it's like BYU playing U of A here next. Either late August. I haven't seen the date on that.
I haven't either, but yeah, that'll be a well-attended game.
BYU plays U of A. U of A is playing a home game in Glendale next September or late August against BYU. That game will sell out. No issues at all.
No, you're wrong. It's like when A&M played ASU in a neutral site
right,
game
right,
in Houston,
right, right.
which is 1 hour and 5 minutes from College Station.
The other story that caught my eye... So at the baseball winter meetings, other than the Diamondbacks making trades and blowing money all over the place, I love what they're doing. I'm not saying that facetiously. But there has been serious conversation about netting being put up along the baseline so that fans don't get balls or bats in the heads. And also warning those fans in those ticket areas that that's part of the deal. It's been on the back of tickets. Look, if you sit here, you could get a bat in the head.
And there are signs all over the ballpark, too.
But nobody's looking because they're all looking at their – they're doing
yeah.
this. You know,
yeah.
they're looking at their phones. So now baseball is trying to move that forward. And look, to me, it seems very commonsensical that that's what you should do. I can't imagine a fan saying other than, well, I've been coming to games since I was so-and-so with my dad, and we've sat here, and we've never had a problem, and I pay big bucks, which people do, for these seats. But you got to be smarter than that nowadays.
Can you imagine the Diamondbacks, though, who really are trying to get butts in the seats, releasing a statement saying there will be netting all around the infield, and all those 50-50 fans that, oh, we'll go to the game, I'll watch on TV, Do I want to sit and stare at a net for three and a half hours?
Go through the net, sure.
It's one thing if you're behind the backstop. I mean, you have to have a net there, or people literally would probably get
killed.
But
you have to do it behind the dugouts.
Yeah.
You probably have to do it all the way down to first base and third base,
and
right?
And bats have become just as big of a concern for fans, either broken or
they
bats,
splinter.
You know, slipping out of players' hands and flying into the first few rows of the seats. It's,
right.
It's a concern. I can see why baseball would look into that.
But how far back do you go?
I don't know.
You know? You go like
what,
halfway down the left.
I would say to the dugout or maybe just past
the
dugout.
But I've seen people get smoked in the first base and third base lines after the dugout. You know, there's that. There's like
by then though, Brad, it's almost on the fan.
Sure it is.
Because that ball, I mean, if you're sitting what halfway down the line and a ball is hit that way, it's kind of on you.
But some of these missiles, when they swing late and they hit a missile, but if you're sitting there, oh hey honey, look at this picture, boom.
Doink.
Yeah.
You're right, on the late swings because the ball is going to jump the other
way.
That's
right. So. They don't have time for that. It's one thing if it's the fly pops where guys are diving over each other and fans fall. You can't prevent that. But they're working through that, and they've got new safety netting recommendations. But to your point, if I'm paying big bucks, if I'm Big Cigar Guy and I have my season tickets and I've been going to baseball for 30, 40 years, as Big Cigar Guys have, and all of a sudden I got to look through a netting – I'd rather just go get a suite.
And every year you hear at least one incident of a fan reaching from the upper deck.
Falling.
Yeah. That's a whole nother.
It's a ball. You can go to sport. You can go to Play It Again Sports for $1.50 and write somebody's name on it and toss it in the air and say, I got this.
It's a ball.
It's just a ball. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. All of our content is up on our website. Our website's got plenty of stuff there. I had like 300 words in me this morning at 4 a.m. about the Diamondbacks. I just woke up and just started pounding it out. And a lot of you are reacting to that at sports360az.com. And our television show is tonight. TV show is tonight at 6 and following the Suns. We are hoping for quadruple overtime Suns win on a fallaway. Please. That is tonight on Fox Sports Arizona at 6 and following the Suns game. Have yourself a great day.